So, yes, workers of the world unite. It's funny that Mark Carney said that in his speech because it actually is the most logical thing to put forward right now.
So, it's never a good sign when the Revolutionary Communist Party is happy with your prime minister. I'm Frank Vaughn. It's January 26th, 2026, and we have troubling signs all around us. Actually, let's just go to the silver chart because I've made the case before that this chart is a map of the economic warfare that is going on right now between the United States and the European banks and the Canadian banks. The European banks and the Canadian banks have been piling capital, freshly minted, as it always is out of nothing, into silver short positions, betting that this chart will fall apart. And American banks have been betting on this chart retaining its structure. And as you can see, we are very close. Now, this is in Canadian dollars. Let's go to the real chart, which is the US price. Same position, barely 0.1% away from limiting up for the day. Limiting up, of course, if it gets there, would actually trigger a pause in trading. It's not like stocks, it wouldn't last very long, but it would take a minute. So the market could collect itself and probably continue to rally. I don't think it stops anytime soon. It's not a forward price prediction, it's looking at the circumstances. Listen, retail is still net dumping silver. And they're selling it at way below spot price. Spot price is crazy. They're still making money. But if you're selling your 80 or your 90% silver, or you're selling your silverware, you're getting 30% below spot. You're getting raked over the coals because the refiners can't take it fast enough. Retail is still net selling. They haven't come to the gates yet and started smashing them down because people are cashing out money for various different reasons. But the industrials, well, they're buying it all up. The banks, the American banks in particular, buying physical supplies. JP Morgan, I believe it's JP that has the largest physical silver holdings in a bank vault. And this is all preparing us for a monetary reset, which is coming. And I really want you to listen to this fella right here, okay? This is, just give this a second.
We've raised you 1.77 million.
Forget this part. Forget the charity, forget the, you
I could
know,
have help scanning
just
this.
listen.
Thank you. What was your name?
Ed.
I'm Sam.
Okay. How
I
are you?
actually had someone nominate you from this store and said you're very hard working.
Well, I try to be.
May I ask how old you are?
I'm 88.
And still working?
Yes, I have to.
Why do you have to keep working?
Retired from General Motors in 99. 2012, I went bankrupt and they took my pension away from me.
First of all, what a great looking 88-year-old. Man, if I age that good, I'll be happy. But it's the only thing I want you to focus on is not the purpose of the charity, the video, and whatever. It's that GM went bankrupt. GM is still functional, folks. They transitioned. They morphed. But they shed themselves of some crippling debt, including the rating and the loss of everybody's pension. So this guy put in his time. He was a career man, and he lost his savings. If it's not in your hands, it isn't really yours. If you can't access your pension funds, if you can't withdraw them today, you don't really have them. If your savings are sitting in a bank account in fiat, you are subject to the rigors of inflation. The news on the screen, do with that what you will. I get asked all the time, what is going to happen to our pensions? What's going to happen to the CPP? What's going to happen to the old age security pension? What's going to happen to my private pensions or my pension from the public sector of a career as a civil servant? All you got to do is look at Russia in the 1990s. That's a potential. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that is a potential. If you don't have it, if you don't possess it, it's not really yours. Speaking of inflation, the federal government unveils boost to GST credit as Parliament resumes. Oh, great. Helicopter money. With Parliament resuming after a winter break. Remember, we're running a $100 billion deficit here, folks. Not that I like taxation. It's that we can't afford any of this. We can't afford Global Affairs Canada. We can't afford $2.5 billion to backstop more Ukrainian debt. You realize that Canadians have donated. That's what it is. We're never going to get it back. donated more money per capita to the Ukrainian war effort, if you can call it that. I call it the mass slaughter, the useless mass slaughter of Ukrainian men that the West has perpetrated. And I 100% everybody wants to, on the whether it's a conservative or a liberal, it's all Russia's fault. Completely ignorant of the coup, completely ignorant of the circumstances from 2014 up to 2022. Completely ignorant. And when I say ignorant, I mean deliberately ignoring historical facts and reality. Deliberately ignoring that even after the military operation began in 2022, within weeks, it could have been over. It was ready to be over. Zelensky was going to sign. Putin was going to sign. Everybody was happy. Putin pulled his armies back. The Western media spun it as he had to retreat because he couldn't finish the job. No, he believed the West again. He believes Zelensky. Putin believes Zelensky. And Boris Johnson flew into Ukraine and torpedoed that effort. I mean, real historical stuff that happened. We don't have money for any of it. With Parliament resuming after winter break, Prime Minister Mark Carney has unveiled a boost to the GST credit as part of a suite of new affordability measures. Now, GST, goods and services tax, the sales tax, they take it from you, then they give you some of it back, and they're heroes. According to the federal government, a family of four will receive up to $1,890 this year with the increases compared to $1,100 a year. Why doesn't CTV tell you that we can't afford it? Why doesn't CTV tell you that, for instance, right here, it says the quarterly GST payments. Payments, not rebate. Payment. They have the audacity to call it a payment. We'll see an increase of 25% over the next 5 years. So 5% per year. Do you think that's actually keeping up with the state of inflation? We're running a $100 billion deficit at the federal level, and God knows how much, I haven't calculated it. Ontario's running an enormous deficit. The government has, I shouldn't say the government, the central bank has started buying Canadian treasuries. Again, as of December 16th, there was no big headline about that, that effectively quantitative easing has already started, which means inflationary pressure on the dollar, on the Canadian dollar, is already growing. As if you can't see it when you just walk into a grocery store. Do you think 5% a year is enough to keep up with that? Do you think 5% a year is enough of a return on your money's confiscation through the GST? It's just smoke and mirrors. And anyway, the main point I want to make is this, along with a few other things, but this makes me believe that they were unable to secure enough floor-crossing conservatives or enough floor-crossing NDP to actually get the majority that they wanted. And we might be heading into a spring election, and they're going to do a repeat. They're going to do a repeat of elbows up. Trump's a big threat. That's why they're doing everything they can to aggravate Donald Trump right now, to make the liberals look like they're being victimized by Donald Trump again. Big, bad orange man. That's the playbook. They're going to buy some votes. They're going to paint Pierre Poilievre as the big evil conservative. And somehow the media is not going to say, hey, you know, you're cutting 15% of the public service. And we've always been pro-union. Like somehow the fact that this is an austerity prime minister who is promising suffering and grim realities to the people of Canada, somehow that just doesn't land. It blows my mind. Because anytime austerity comes up in this country, everybody starts whining about service cuts. This guy comes along and he says, we're going to have to cut services. Your living standard's going to go down. It's going to be grim and dark and belt tightening everywhere. And we're going to have to divorce ourselves from our largest trading partner. Why? Over some tariffs, over some taxes, over some truth bombs about the state of Canadian criminal enterprise. That's why we're overreacting. We've always been overreacting. We thumb our nose at the Americans all the time, and then we play victim when they swipe back, and yet we're totally dependent on them. Everybody's going to suffer. That's this man's promise. And somehow it doesn't land in the media. Somehow it doesn't make copy. He is celebrated as Canada's savior and hero. And I think if they successfully get a majority during an election, you're going to find out just what his true colors are. And I'm not so sure it's so obvious. I'm not so sure he wants to get into bed with China the way that he says he does. I'm not so sure that he truly represents Europe. What he's doing to this country is bringing our guard down, and it actually plays right into the Trump administration's hands. You really have to keep in mind, Mark Carney is a corporate banking raider. That's what he's been doing, working for American institutions. The stint at the Bank of England and the stint at the Bank of Canada, notwithstanding, the majority of his career and indeed his life was built in the United States, and that's where all his money remains today. If somebody was going to run a two-faced campaign with the objective of undermining Canada and leaving us weak, while also at the same time claiming to save it, this is the guy you'd put in, because he's capable of delivering that message, and he's somewhat innocuous. He comes across as a nice guy. He's got a good smile. He's got a good laugh. He's somewhat charming, at least on a superficial level, to the liberal base. He's the perfect guy to come in and deliver the message. Now, this is the VRIC, which is the, I want to make sure I actually get it properly, Vancouver Resource Investment Conference is what the acronym stands for. This is ongoing right now. And I read a comment this morning from a longtime supporter and viewer of the channel, and he's there. And I wrote him an email back and I said, man, you know, can you provide me some insight? He hasn't gotten back to me yet, but I thought, who else do I know there? So I did some digging around. And this is the story across the board. The big investment people, the people with the capital, the venture capitalists, the people who can actually decide where things are built and where things are not built. I mean, here you go. What is the VRIC? Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. 120 keynote speakers, 300 mining companies, 9,000 attending investors. The consensus on the floor is no one wants to touch Canada. And I've been talking about this all along. We are experiencing capital flight. Another thing CTV and CBC never tell you about is how many billions of dollars are leaving this country every single month because nobody trusts the politics. Whether it's at the federal level or the provincial level, nobody trusts that their capital is safe. And add on top of that, all the ridiculous land claims and all the treaty nonsense and the court decisions that are confusing title. Add to that, you know, Doug Ford dumping Crown Royal and virtue signaling about companies that just want to restructure so that they can remain viable. Getting cut off from access to Canadian markets. Not even related to the United States. We've lost our minds letting Chinese electric vehicles into this country very cheap so that they can outcompete any nascent or any idea of growing an auto industry in Canada. You might as well just put it in the ground. Like, stop even dreaming about it. It's all gone. And nobody's going to put their money into Canada. The people who are talking about deals, when Carney goes to Qatar, or he goes to Singapore, or he goes over to Asia, and he talks about deals, the number one beneficiary is not Canada, is not the Canadian people. It's those American banks that he's been working for his entire life. Follow the money. Is he really trying to save Canada? Back over in Silverland, the American banks are still winning as well. 10.35%. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong about the whole limit up thing. Like, trading should pause. That's my understanding. Maybe it's incomplete. Let me know in the comment section. You can call me names and tell me I'm wrong about everything and that I'm undermining the trust and all the various stuff that people like to tell me whenever I say something that's even mildly wrong. I want to look at... I don't want to look at this again. We already know that Beijing's very happy with Carney. Where did it go? BC Supreme Court rules on complex $45 million real estate dispute involving Chinese immigrants. This came out on the 24th, I believe. Yeah, the 24th. High-stakes legal battle in the Supreme Court of BC has pulled back the curtain on a labyrinthine financial saga involving a Beijing opera stage designer. Duffel bags of cash. It's always duffel bags of cash. It's been duffel bags of cash for decades. We created the Vancouver model and allowed it to... people need to read Sam Cooper's book, Willful Blindness. People need to read The Claws of the Panda. I come across ignoramuses all the time. And the fact is, it is ignorance. And I don't say that with the bite, with the insult. It's ignorance, which means ignoring. That's the base of the word, ignoring reality. Some people are consciously ignoring reality. Some people don't know they're ignorant. Ignorance is a condition that can be cured by information. And honestly, if you care about Canada, you should be desperate to know what's actually going on. This is just one of many ongoing chapters at the center of Zhang Estate versus Yin is a $45 million real estate portfolio that became the subject of a bitter dispute following the death of a young investor. Oh, you know, the details don't even matter, man. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is the country, this communist Chinese country, that Mark Carney rightly, and probably a mistake, because he isn't a politician, rightly identified as Canada's chief strategic rival that Carney is now coordinating with to set up joint task force. Now listen, we have the Foreign Investment Protection Act that was signed under Stephen Harper, which already gives China extrajudicial rights in Canada. Terrible deal. No one's talking about repealing it. Nobody even wants to talk about it. This is one of my problems with the Conservative Party of Canada. No leader of the Conservative Party, including this one, is capable of attacking the previous record of the Conservative Party of Canada. Everybody just acts like they did everything perfect. And it annoys me. In 2016, when Donald Trump came along and ran for the Republican Party, one of the first things he did was attack the Bushes, the royalty. Jeb Bush was the guy. He was the next in line in the Bush dynasty. Donald Trump torpedoed that completely. And he got booed. Boo, boo, boo. You know, you're a bad guy. Can't possibly win. Everybody said he couldn't win. He became president. No conservative has the chutzpah to look back on the Conservative Party's legacy of Brian Mulroney and Stephen Harper and criticize it. Far more Mulroney, but also Stephen Harper and his government, and say that they were part of the process that left Canada in this weakened state. Sure, in the rear view, it looks better. But when you're on a chart and you're starting to curve downwards, whew, and then you fall right off the edge, you know, you should analyze where it all started before it fell off the edge too. Assess blame to everybody equally. I'm constantly being accused of being a partisan. I am not. I see it very clearly. At any rate, this is the country they want to tie us to, or at least on the surface they say they want to tie us to. And the more they talk about tying us to China, the more irritated the Trump administration at least appears. Like I said, I think it's playing right into the American hands. Carney's weakening everything. And he's given cover for it by the media. He's given cover for it by the absolute thousands of bots that are on social media. I mean, bot swarms. And I really genuinely wonder if they're being run right out of Ottawa. Let's check out Canada Strong is trending. We got this. I think this is like a lesbian. I'm not really sure. Vic BC kid. I think it's a lesbian. But this whole attitude, the middle finger up, this irritated look, he's rolling up his sleeve if he's a he, looking all tough. Let's see. Canada Strong, managing the American-Canadian relationship is the most important responsibilities any prime minister have. We're supposed to get it right, not F it up. Well, that's true. Time for Carney and Trump to get behind closed doors and work this out. Shouldn't be that hard, as Trump's bottom line is now clear. We'll need to cost share defending the continent, including via the dome, and can insist on an FTA, free trade arrangement, that ensures we have the means to pay. It's quite possible that Carney and Trump have already worked this out behind closed doors. I mean, this is how it would look if that was the case. PM Mark Carney is right to sound the alarm. Economic sovereignty matters. Supporting Canadian businesses isn't symbolism, it's strategy. We haven't been doing that for four decades. We've gutted the country. We don't make things anymore. We've become a resource colony to the world. We've become an immigration drop-off point for millions of people who don't even belong here. And our politicians, the funny thing is that the Liberals are actually harder on immigration than the Conservatives are right now, who had that on their bingo card. It wasn't a couple years ago. Anybody that was critical of the high numbers of immigration was called some kind of racist. And then Carney comes in, and he starts doing things to slow immigration and start sending people home, talking about canceling permanent residency and shipping those people out and getting away with it. all of a sudden, all the insults of racism. Can you imagine this? It's just, this continues to blow my mind. We've got a central banking overlord. We have the world's premier banker du jour, and the Communist Party, the revolutionary communists, whatever the hell they call themselves, are talking favorably of the guy. He's engaged in austerity, and the media's flying cover, and the public sector unions are muted. The guy's turning out to be a total immigration hawk, and the liberals are loving it. The big red machine has so programmed people that the actions of the government, which they were decrying only a couple years ago, decrying even anybody proposing to cut immigration, anybody proposing some measure of public service cuts, they were decrying it. Now they're supporting it blindly because they are so hypnotized by the big bad threat of Donald Trump. And I can't help it. I can't help but think it's just one big game, that the only way to steer Canada into some kind of, like, there's two alternatives here. We're either being steered into North America and a union with the United States, or we're going to be turned into Ukraine. And I don't want to idly stand around and wait for us to become an impoverished, developing nation. We're already kind of there. But I don't want to see our children drafted to fight some pointless guerrilla campaign against the United States. I don't want to see people lose their pensions. I don't want to see people lose their homes. I fear I'm going to. I fear that's the only thing that's going to wake people up. Maybe this is some kind of backwards attempt to break the hypnosis. I don't actually know. I'm just speculating. And as I speculate, I'm still left to wonder. Can they trip a circuit breaker? Like, is it, I thought it was automatic, but maybe it's not automatic. Maybe it's a choice that they can stop trading with a limit up. And honestly, if they're trying to drive the silver price up to force the mother of all short squeezes on European and Canadian banks to leave them weak and destitute and desperately needing capital, which is what's happening every day this happens, it gets worse for those banks that are holding those short positions. Maybe the Americans will just leave trading open in the United States. I don't know. Let me know in the comments section. It's kind of new to me. I don't usually spend much of my time staring at charts, but I'll tell you, when you're seeing the silver chart and you're seeing the historicity of this, like, this is where the war is being fought right now between Europe and Canada and the United States. As long as this chart's moving up, the U.S. is winning. And I'm sorry if this one's a bit disjointed. I had, like, no sleep last night. This is just disjointed. But I wanted to say, hopefully you'll stick with me, I wanted to do some kind of video thank you when I crossed a 60,000 followers and subscriber threshold on X and on YouTube. We've done this all organically. It's because you people engage. It's because you comment. It's because you like. It's because you share the videos around. The audience isn't growing because the algorithm is helping us. By not being monetized, not being in the YouTube partner program, we're not getting the reach. The reach is generated by you guys. So when I hit a milestone like 60,000 followers and subscribers across both platforms, you know, it's a big deal. But I missed it. And we're almost at 62,000 now. So I know I have a lot of convoluted rules for how this is going to happen. The no ads and the no sponsors and no partner program and not having paid access. There's no, like, membership tiers or Patreon. There's no way for you to buy my time, and there never will be. I interact with people in the comment section. I try to keep it even. And there's a lot of people who comment and they say, you know, I wish I could donate, but I just don't have the money. And I get that. People are, it's tough. It's tough out there. I cover all the time. I often joke, at least in my own head, about the fact that I'm constantly telling people how broke they are and how bad things might get. And then the only thing I'm doing is putting up a donate link. It's like, hey, you're broke and you're about to get broker, but hey, consider supporting the channel of your own volition. You get everything up front. You get all the access you can get, and you're not going to get anything special for it. It's just, I seem to work against my own interests, but the fact of the matter is, it resonates with people. And I think it generates a higher degree of trust, whether I'm right or wrong. I don't think it matters. I think reality is my mission. The AI fakery, I've been watching, not all the time, but I've been watching some old WWE clips, particularly around Trump's time when he was in the WWE, but the business fascinates me. It always has. And I clicked on this one video, and it was a fake interview between Stone Cold and The Undertaker. And it was on the location of the Broken Skull podcast. Like, it was this, it was that, but all the content was fake. It was a fake interview, and it was a fake go-through of a match. AI is even screwing with WWE stuff now. So anyway, it's everywhere. In the world of finance, there's fake. Politics, there's fake. There's just AI content out the wazoo. Some of it's got good information. Some of it is totally terrible. And the only thing I'm really, my primary mission is to just be a base of operation for reality. To just keep it real. So that when you come here, when you come to the channel, if it's not on my channel, if you see my face or you see my work anywhere else, if it's not right here, this is the only channel. This and Twitter and my website are the only ways I communicate. If you see it anywhere else, it ain't real. If you see something somewhere else, come to these channels to see if it's here. And if it ain't here, I didn't make it. That's going to be important going forward. But anyway, I appreciate all of you, and I appreciate everything you've done to build this out. And I hope this disjointed video provided some level of service. I think I'm just going to sign off now, and I will see you in the next one.